The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at Life Streams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Good morning. This week is our fourth week in the B series. Have you ever heard of something called a preaching dare? It happens more than you might think, where people will come up to me and say, I dare you to do this in the sermon. And I'm such a sucker for needing to belong that more often than not, I'll do a dare. So a couple of weeks ago when Sebastian, my son, realised I was preaching, he said, you know what, Mum, ever since that giant bee has appeared on stage, I've been waiting for one of you to start your sermon. He's laughing. I'm doing the dare. I've been waiting for one of you to walk up to the giant bee and start your sermon by saying, to be or not to be? I can't believe you're laughing because I'm not that funny. I woke up this morning and I thought, I know how to make this funny. I'll stick my head through the bee part and, except that, Mel, you didn't put a hole in the bee, so I can't, because I thought to be or not to be, it's like Sesame Street. Anyway, we were going for a walk last Sunday and I suddenly thought, I know, I said to Sebastian, what if I got a giant bumblebee costume? And to be with a great big black sting out the back. And no, Mum, that just is totally wrong. Don't do that. So, but I was inspired by Shakespeare. To belong or not to belong, that is the question. And I hope you'll forgive me, but this morning I'm going to stick really closely to my notes because this issue of belonging is a huge topic. And I want to sort of keep it as concise as I can. That's the first reason. The second reason is because I've realised as a result of preparing this message that I am hypersensitive to issues about belonging. I absolutely hate it when I see people being excluded. I hate it when I exclude people. And often I need to exclude people. You know, I have meetings and that I run day after day and I have to choose who comes, who doesn't come. And I hate that. And I realise that some of you are not hypersensitive to issues of belonging. You may be thinking, I never even think about it. You're oblivious to issues of belonging. So wherever you are on the spectrum today, whether you're hypersensitive like me or you don't usually think about belonging, I wanted to try and ground this somehow so that all of us could engage in the conversation. And for that reason, I want to stick to my notes because it's quite likely, like the whole Shakespeare thing, I could go down a rabbit hole, which, you know, we could be here till 4 o'clock, so let's not do that. So, to belong or not to belong, that's the question. Let's pray. Father, we've all been touched by what Liz shared with us. And whether we're sensitive to belonging or we don't think about it too much, the fact is that there are so many people who don't belong to you. And whatever we come to today, I pray that you would help us to be aware of those who do not belong to you. Lord, help us to feel and remember the pain of not belonging to you, the lostness of not belonging to you. And Lord, help us to be grateful for those of us who have heard and responded to the message of Jesus, that there is so much comfort in knowing that we belong to you. And so, Lord, would you be with us as we consider your word this morning and as we think about belonging in Jesus' name. Amen. There's another dare in our family. Can you preach a ukulele sermon? Yes, you can. Lucy and I preached a ukulele sermon a few months ago, and so she's going to play again this morning because it was really fun having a ukulele, so dare number two. Let's see if we can get a third dare in by the end. So, sociologists and psychologists all describe the times in which we live in the Western world as precarious. We're all swimming in a sea of options. There are so many choices that we're confronted with day after day. And so we're all living with an increased baseline of anxiety. The sea of options includes questions about who we belong to, how we belong, what we belong to. Each decision or non-decision, each choice or non-choice, whether it's conscious or unconscious, anything related to belonging has either a positive or a negative impact on our sense of identity, which in turn has an impact on our network of relationships that we belong to. And if you didn't follow me, that's okay, because it just hurts thinking about it. It just hurts thinking about all the issues about belonging. So let's start with a passage of scripture that I hope will help us to think about it. Thanks, Lucy. Why are you so polite with me, always saying, yes, sir, and that's right, sir, but never doing a thing I tell you? These words I speak to you are not mere additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundation words, words to build a life on. If you work the words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who dug deep and laid the foundation of his house on bedrock. When the river burst its banks and crashed against the house, nothing could shake it. It was built to last. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a dumb carpenter who built a house but skipped the foundation. When the swollen river came crashing in, it collapsed like a house of cards. It was a total loss. Why are you so polite with me? Always saying, yes, sir, and that's right, sir, but never doing a thing I tell you. These words I speak to you are not mere additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundation words, words to build a life on. So why this passage of scripture from Luke 6? The danger of this message is that it could so easily have become a session in pop psychology. There's a lot of influences out there in our culture, and I think that most of us would agree that such is the social turbulence of our age that the very notion of belonging is constantly changing. All types of relationships are subject to fragmentation, whether they're marriage, family, friends, work, church. It just occurred to me recently how fragmented life had become for my own family. Nobody deliberately set out to do this, but what's interesting is to look back on my life and to see both that for Neil and I, we enjoyed the benefit of growing up in large extended families where we had grandparents, aunts, uncles and cousins. We grew up in a family where we saw the good, the bad and the ugly, but where there was a sense of belongingness regardless and sometimes in spite of. But within our lifetime, both of our families have become highly fragmented. Both conscious and unconscious decisions have been made by individuals in our family that have resulted in fragmentation away from what we all once belonged to. And it's been quite unsettling to reflect on that and on the impact of family fragmentation, and I've felt a deep sense of loss. When I think about how my life and how my family has been diminished because the wider networks of family that we used to have been eroded or been washed away. And that's just one example of the kind of fragmentation that we're all living with. Whether it's family, church, friends, work, sports, any kind of relationship that we may be in is subject to social fragmenting influences. Just think about how much Facebook has changed the way we relate and belong. In a relatively short period of time, it's totally redefined the way that people understand what it means to belong, let alone what it means to communicate as human beings. So as I was thinking these things, I realised that all of the ground on which I was trying to build a message on belongingness was like standing on sinking sand. And that was the aha moment as the words of Jesus came to mind. If we build our lives on, or our sense of belonging on anything other than Jesus, we will find ourselves on constantly sinking sand. Let me say that again. We build our lives or our sense of belonging on anything other than Jesus, and we will find ourselves on constantly sinking sand. Now, this should be a two-part message. In part one, we're going to consider what it means to build our sense of belonging on Jesus. But if we were able, we would have part two, which would look at what it means to belong to others. We don't have time for that this morning, so I want to urge you to access the small group notes that are going to be online from tomorrow and follow the links to some material that will help you to consider the notion of what this means in terms of belonging to others. But I'm going to act on the assumption that if we get the foundation of belonging right, there will be a natural overflow of which will result in healthy, whole and positive belonging in the lives of those around us. Relationships are not easy. There's no such thing as an independent choice. Whether we like it or not, I should say that again, there is no such thing as an independent choice, and yet we live in a culture that tells us that every day. You're free to choose, as long as you don't hurt anyone. The reality is there is no such thing as an independent choice. Whether we like it or not, every decision we make for ourselves will have an impact on someone else, whether we know them or don't know them. So we need to be always careful that we don't sit here in church and simply reduce a message to a simple, the answer is Jesus, and walk away feeling good. The answer is always Jesus. The life of Jesus and the life of those who live in and through Jesus is far from simple or easy or casual, as Liz reminded us today. It is a life of discipleship. A picture I had when Liz was talking was about a soul, you know, our souls being stretched. You know, Jesus doesn't save us and stick a gold star and you go, there you go, you're right, you're off to heaven. He loves us enough to stretch our souls and to shape him into his image. You think about having yourself stretched, it should be painful and hurt, but for a positive reason. Anyway, it's a life that's messy and it's challenging and it's sometimes gut-wrenching because it's a life that is unafraid to face life as it really is and desire for ourselves and for others to know true love, true joy, true peace, true healing, true forgiveness, true belonging, and all of these things can only be found in a belonging relationship with Jesus. So what does it mean to build one's sense of belonging to Jesus? There are two things I want to look at. The first one is identity. Regardless of who we are or what kind of personality type we are, all of us have an internal drive or an internal need to belong to someone or something. Psychologists tell us that we can only understand who we are in relation to others around us. We derive our sense of identity and belonging through other people. That's how we know who we are and how we belong. And there's lots of biblical examples, but I was thinking of two. You know, where in 1 Corinthians 15:30, Paul says, don't be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. In other fact, you know, if you relate with bad people, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to start making bad choices for yourself and others. Proverbs 12:26 says, the righteous chooses his friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. We derive our sense of identity and belonging in relation to other people. I read this last week when I was on the holidays. It's a powerful statement. It says this, as our theologians remind us, creation occurred ex nihilo, or out of nothingness. This means that all things, even the dust with which humanity was created, derive their existence from God. So when we seek a different identity derived from anything other than God, we don't actually become different, but only return to the nothingness we were before God created our lives. The truth is that if God is not creating our lives, then those around us are. It's a powerful insight, isn't it? If God is not creating our lives, then those around us are. There is no such thing as a self-constructed life. There is only being in Christ, or is that there is the nothingness that others create for us. That's so countercultural, isn't it? There is either only being in Christ, or there is the nothingness that others create for us. Boy, I don't want to be like a nothing life, do you? Do you think nothingness sounds too harsh? When you think about it, he's right though. Anything that is not of God, anything that is not eternal will not last. So we construct our identity or a sense of belonging on anything that is not grounded in Christ and it's not going to last. It might feel good for now, but it is not going to last. It's not going to serve us well. Do we really want to have an identity that changes constantly with the passing fads and seasons? Identity that is never at rest or peace. A heart that is never at rest or peace. It's exhausting for most people to be constantly thinking about who they are, where they are, who they're relating to, how they look. Do I fit in? Do I don't fit in? That's an exhausting way to live. I want to talk particularly to the young people who are mostly over this part. You may not fully understand what I'm talking about. And there is a sense in which you can't understand it yet, because you haven't had enough life experience to grasp the deep truth here. but you can be wise at any age. Be careful how and who and what you build your identity on. Make some good choices now. Listen to the wisdom of God's word and the wisdom of people who have lived enough life to be able to testify to the truth of God's wisdom. Because we build our lives, our sense of belonging, our sense of identity on anything other than Jesus, and we find ourselves on constantly sinking sand. And if I reflect on my life, I reckon I've probably had 5 identities in my lifetime of 50 years. There's a lot of wasted identity. God will always redeem everything, and everything's always, works out for our good. But when you think about it, there's a lot of confusion that goes on in life. It's much simpler to make some good choices about finding your identity in Jesus. The second observation I want to make is about Jesus only, about building a life on Jesus. These turbulent times that we live in, and you may or may not think about how turbulent life is, but I want to urge you to consider about how constantly changing our culture is. And a lot of Christians get really frightened about the age in which we live. It's frightening because the church is being eroded and it's being hard to be a Christian and yada, yada, yada. But as I look at the pressures that churches are facing, and including the threat of irrelevance that will lead to the closure of many more churches before it's done, and I do sadly think that many churches will close before it's done, I and others see a great opportunity from the hand of God. The sheer pressure of cultural change is helping us to see where the world has shaped the identity of the church and where Christ has not shaped the identity of the church. We're a human being as church. And the world has influenced how we meet together and who we are and how we view ourselves as church. And I think that the times in which we live, God is revealing to us those things that are not right about who we are and how we are, those things that are not godly. And I think that's exciting. It's helping us to see what about our faith is eternal and what about our faith is not. One writer puts it this way: we are reclaiming a faith where belief is not quite the same thing as an answer. The answer is Jesus, but that's not belief. Where behaviour is not a list of do's and don'ts, and where belonging to a Christian community is less like joining an exclusive club and more about a relationship with God and others. We are reclaiming a faith that is never satisfied with old answers, codified dogmas, institutionalized practices, or invested power. We are reclaiming a faith that calls us to return to the basic questions of believing, behaving, and belonging, and explore each anew with an open heart. And this particular author, Diana Butler Bass, says, she goes on to talk about the difference between two words that we attach to Jesus, the word and the word in. Let me just read Luke 6:46 and 47 again. Why are you so polite with me, always saying, yes, sir, and that's right, sir, but never doing a thing I tell you? These words I speak to you are not mere additions to your life, home owner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundation words, words to build a life on. Our human nature pushes us towards living out our faith in Christ with the word and. This is our human nature. We believe in Jesus and we go to church. We believe in Jesus and there are things we do and we don't do. We believe in Jesus and we need to all join a small group. We believe in Jesus and we need to give and we need to serve. We believe in Jesus and we need to pray and read the word every day. It's exhausting, isn't it? Hands up if you feel exhausted. Just me, okay. It's like constantly, when you think about it, it is the and, Jesus and. It's like constantly being preoccupied with renovations that you never finish on your house. And lots of you know what it's like to live with renovations on in your house. And in fact, when you own a home, you soon quickly realize you never finish renovating. It's another example of sinking sand. And if you're feeling like that right now, even if you're not brave enough to stick your hand up, then you can know that you're living with the Jesus and syndrome. It's not life. It's not true, full life. It's not freedom. It's not joy. It's not rest. It's not peace. Don't feel guilty about that. It's the feelings that we have are very real, and they are a gift to us to help us to recognize what is going on and to make a shift from and to in. I want to invite you to join with me in an experiment for this next week. This is your homework, as well as downloading the small group notes online. As many times as you can this week, remind yourself that you are in Christ and Christ is in you. That's it. Just notice and think about the fact that you are in Christ and Christ is in you. And then just notice any differences that you experience as you think about living your life in Christ rather than living your life and with Christ. We build our lives, our sense of belonging, our sense of identity on anything other than in Christ, and we will find ourselves on constantly sinking sand. As we close this morning, I want you to invite you to take an honest look at what your life is standing on right now. Are you standing on sand at the moment? It might feel firm. You know, if the tide's out, I was walking on the beach last week, I had lots of time to think about this. If the tide's out, you know, and first thing in the morning you get that lovely firm sand to stand on and walk on, it's beautiful to walk on. But the tide comes in and it becomes sinking sand really quickly. If you're building your life on sand at the moment, I pray that you'll consider God's word today and think about making a change to building your life on the rock of Jesus only. Maybe you're standing half on the rock and half on sand. That would be an interesting thing to demonstrate. You know, maybe like that. That's a fairly awkward position to live on. Just think about the tension of trying to live like that, let alone what that might mean. But if you're standing half on the rock of Jesus and half on sand, I pray that you will look at those elements of your life that pull you away from Christ and ask for help to secure everything onto the rock of Christ Jesus. Maybe you're clinging to the rock. You know, maybe Jesus is a rock and you feel like you're just, you know, you're being pounded at the moment. You're just clinging onto the rock. You're overwhelmed by life and how it's pounding on you right now. I pray that you will know the strength of Christ who holds you firmly in his hands. You might be clinging on, but remember he is holding on to you. I pray that your faith will be strengthened as you persevere, persist and hold on to what you know as the truth. Don't lose sight of the truth. Are you standing on the rock today? Do you have both feet firmly planted in Jesus? I pray that you'll keep your feet firmly planted on Jesus so that your life would overflow with the presence and power of Christ who holds you firmly in his hands. And I pray that there would be an overflow, the presence of power of Jesus, so that others may share with you in the security that we can only know in Christ. You know, there's an overflow to that. As you consider your posture before Christ today, I want to encourage you to join me in a reflection from a very old hymn. Lucy played the melody behind our Bible reading earlier, and Len's going to help us. The chorus just goes like this: "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." It's a great, great hymn. I'm going to read each verse as a reflection to us this morning, and then I'm going to invite you to join in response by singing the chorus. Join us in singing the chorus if you want to make these words true in your life today. There's a missing verse. I was doing some research on the man who wrote this hymn, and there's a missing verse I'm going to use. It's going to be the last verse that we get to. Some missing words, but there was something about the words in this verse that we never sing that were really powerful, so I'll indicate that when we get to it. But let's enter into this hymn as a reflection. And as I said, if you want to be building your life on the solid rock of Christ, then I invite you to sing the chorus by way of a response this morning. Thanks, Lucy. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. What that means is it doesn't matter how attractive something might be, we don't want to build our life on it. We only want to build our life on Jesus. So let's join in singing the chorus together. Thank you. his oath, his covenant, his blood. They support me in the overwhelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and my stay. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Midst all the hell I feel within, on his completed work I lean. Maybe you feel so unsettled at the moment. If you're really honest, it might feel like hell within. But you can cling to Jesus and know security that you've never experienced before. Let's sing the chorus together. We build our lives, our sense of belonging, our sense of identity on anything other than in Jesus, and we will find ourselves constantly on sinking sand. Let's pray a benediction. As you leave this place, may the living Lord go with you. May he go behind you to encourage you. May he go beside you to befriend you. May he go above you to watch over you. May he go beneath you to lift you from your sorrows. May he go within you to give you the gifts of faith, hope, and love, and always before you to show you the way. Amen.